In the fifth chapter of James, James continues his epistle with these words. Go to now, ye rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the labourers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Go to now, ye rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Ye rich men. Are you rich? Do you seek riches? Do you love riches? Do you desire them? All sorts of riches. The riches of this world, wealth, goods, money. The pleasures of this world, the acclaim of this world, the esteem of this world, the position of this world, the knowledge and the wisdom of this world. Riches. Where is your heart's desire? For what do you live? For what do you strive? As James asked earlier, what is your life? What is your life? What people call life? And what they fill their lives with is but death. Oh, this is living, they say. This is the life. They enrich themselves with what they can in this world. They grab what they can. They seek what they can. And they think they're living. But it's but for a moment. And then it's gone. What is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It's but for a moment and then it's gone. And even in that moment, even when we're rich with what we gain in this world, in whatever realm, even at our greatest point, in our strongest hour, when we're mighty in our own eyes and perhaps in the eyes of others, even when we're esteemed, even when we're on the mountaintop, what we call life is simply death. Our physical death is but moments away. But spiritually, we are dead throughout. By nature, we are born and we live as those who are dead in trespasses and sins. We're blind. We're in the darkness. We know not God. We don't know what life is. We call this natural realm and what we have in it and what we do in it and what we think and say, we call that life, but it's fleeting, it's but for a moment, it's a mirage, it's death. We may have many riches in this world. We may have all the wealth we can gain, all the power, all the esteem, all the applause of men. But it's all gone in a moment. We come into the world with nothing and we go out with nothing. It's all gone in a moment soon. The young man is middle-aged. Soon the middle-aged is old. Soon we lie in the grave. And all that we've grasped at, all that we've built up, all that we've attained to, all that we've done is gone in a moment. It's all gone in the end. We cannot take it beyond the grave. We've grasped at it and it passes through our fingers. Oh, the foolishness of man that he grasps so strongly, so insatiably at all that he can get in this world when his life is fleeting, his life is flying past him, time races by and eternity awaits, and he thinks not what is beyond the grave. He thinks not of eternity. He thinks not of the riches to come. How short-sighted we are. As Christ asks in the Gospels, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What does it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? You can see this so often in history. So many men, emperors of mighty nations, kings, leaders, leaders of great companies, industrial empires, now gone. How their latter days were spent in misery, as disease and age overcame them. All that they have, all that they were, all that they gained is gone. And what happened for those in the past happens for those today and will happen to you and I if that's all that we seek after. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered and the rust of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days and then it's gone. What is your life? And what are your riches? The believer in Christ, meanwhile, under whom James writes, may be poor in the eyes of this world. He may or may not have the riches materially that the world around him has. And whether he has those or not, the world will look upon him or her as poor in their eyes, as nothing. The believer does not seek after that which the world seeks after. He does not desire the things the world desires. Whatever the Lord may give him, whether his pathway may be great or small, whether he may be in a high position or a low position, whether he may be granted riches or not riches, the believer does not seek them. He does not love them. He does not care for them. His eyes have been opened to that which is eternal. His eyes have been opened to those true riches that God gives his people in Christ. And his pathway very often in this world will not be one of great riches and will not be one of great pleasure in the world's eyes or great esteem. He may lose much, he may suffer much, but he has all things in Christ Jesus, his Saviour. You may be going through great trial, You may go through great trial. The Lord may take away all that you have. As Job knew, he lost his house, he lost his riches, he lost his family, he lost his children, he lost his health. Everything he had in this world was taken away. But he had Christ. And in Christ alone, he had all things, all riches, not for this world, but for eternity. Yes, the believer may lose much, he may suffer much, he may know what poverty is in so many realms, but all the events of his life, all things that come to pass, work together for his good, because the Lord has called him, chosen him, brought him to salvation, and in Christ he has all the riches of the Godhead dwell in Christ, and all is the believers in him. What is your life? Is it this fleeting moment in which you live and breathe in this world, in which you seek to enrich yourself and bring yourself great knowledge and wisdom and the acclaim of man? Is it that which is gone in a moment? Or is it that which is eternal, which God has shown you and given you freely by grace in his Son, Jesus Christ? Where is your heart? Go to now, ye rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped together treasure for the last days. Go to now, you rich men. So many seek insatiably after riches. What are you living for? What are you striving for? Ultimately, in this world, by nature, we're all striving for riches of some sort or another. Whether they are physical, material riches, whether they are the riches of family and friends, whether they are the riches of acclaim and position and the applause of men, whether they are the riches of wisdom and knowledge and power and influence, whether they are the riches of our own self-righteousness, which we build up, which we seek after to further our own ends and our own glory. It's all seeking riches, all of which shall be taken away, all of which corrupt and become corrupted, all of which become moth-eaten, all of which are cankered and rust, and as it were are burnt up by fire in the end. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. If that's where your heart lies, to seek riches in one sense or another in this world, then the message that will come to you in the end will be howl and weep for the miseries that shall come upon you. You can't keep these things. They're passing. They're fleeting. They're nothing. There may be rich men in this world. You may be rich in this world, but where is your soul? And where will your soul remain in eternity? Where are you heading? What do you really know? You may be rich in your own eyes. rich in your knowledge, your understanding, your intellect. You may be rich in your wisdom, rich in your self-righteousness. You may think you're good and honourable and to be applauded. You may view yourself before God as upright and deserving of his merit. You may think of yourself as moral. You may say, well, I don't seek after the world's riches. I'm quite happy with a humble existence. But you seek to do good for others. And your esteem comes from thinking that you have done great good for your fellow man, for which you should be applauded. Before God, you feel like God should honour you for that which you've done, the sacrifices you've made, the works you've done. You're rich in your own eyes. Rich in your knowledge, your wisdom, your righteousness, your holiness. But in God's eyes, every one of these things is nothing, less than nothing. They are but filthy rags of self-righteousness which bring glory and honour to you and rob God of his glory and rob God of his honour and rob God of his praise for all that you have and all that you are he has given you. All the strength you have, he's given you. All the ability you have, he's given you. All the wisdom and understanding and knowledge you have, he has given you. And you give him no honour. You give him no thanks. You give him no praise. You rob him of his glory. You rob him of his honour. And you bring that praise and glory and honour that is rightfully his unto yourself and say, look what I've done. Look what I am. I deserve this. When you are nothing but what he has made you to be. And you deserve nothing but his condemnation and wrath for your self-seeking and your self-glorying. And you're enriching yourself at the expense of others, especially God. Yes, all these riches that we trust in, all these riches of our wisdom and our knowledge and our righteousness and our holiness, it's all filthy rags. It's all corrupt. It stinks. It's foul in God's eyes. That which we think is wonderful stinks in God's eyes. And it all fades away. Yes, just as material riches rust and become corrupted and become moth-eaten and canker, just as they all fade away with time and they go back to the dust from whence they were made, so too do all the other riches in which we trust. Our wisdom fades away. Our knowledge becomes out of date. And we forget, and it leaves us. Our self-righteousness becomes swallowed up by our iniquity and our pride. We think we've done some good, and in pride we stand up looking for some applause, and we overdo any good with the iniquity of our pride and our self-righteousness. It all rusts, it all cankers, it's all moth-eaten, it's all good for nothing. Oh yes, we may have woven ourselves some garments of self-righteousness. We may have clothed ourselves in a certain way to be seen of others in a certain way. Oh, aren't they upright? Aren't they honourable? Aren't they kind? Aren't they loving? Haven't they done this? We've woven some garments, but those garments soon become moth-eaten, soon become riddled with the holes that pride eats in them. Go to now, ye rich men, Weep and howl for your miseries that are come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. It's all nothing. It's all foul in the nostrils of God. A great stench of iniquity in which we trust for salvation. Yes, these riches are those that religious men seek after. They come into the meeting places, they come into the temples and the churches, and they do this and they do that, and they utter their prayers and they read the scriptures and they do their good works, and they think that they are honourable in God's sight. But they keep them from God. These riches are a hindrance to us knowing God. Such riches kept the scribes and the Pharisees in Christ's day away from God. When Christ came unto them, when God came unto them, when God visited his people and came in the midst of Israel, the rich in Israel, the wise, the knowledgeable, those with great spiritual understanding, they thought, rejected the Saviour. They rejected the gospel. They rejected Christ and his salvation. They rejected the righteousness of God, for they were weaving their own righteousness. They had their own garments, however moth-eaten. Yes, such riches are a hindrance to us. They keep us from knowing God. They keep us from his salvation. They keep us trusting in ourselves and not trusting in Christ alone. Why do we need a Saviour if there is something in ourselves in which we can trust? If we have the ability, if we have the wisdom, the knowledge, if we have the righteousness ourselves, why do we need a Saviour? As Christ warned, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. A rich man, not a rich man in this world materially, but a rich man in his own eyes, a rich man spiritually, a rich man in terms of his own righteousness. He's fine. He doesn't need a Saviour. His riches of knowledge, his riches of prayers and good works and Bible study and position in the church, his riches in religion keep him from God, keep him from Christ, keep him from seeing, because he's not broken. He's not been brought to see what he is. He's not been brought to see what a sinner he is. He's not been brought to see his need. Is this you? Have you come to Christ? Have you come down before him as nothing, as a wretch, as a sinful wretch that's got one plea, save me else I die? If you haven't, then there's one thing keeping you, your riches. A young man came to Christ one day, a ruler in Israel, and said unto him, Lord, I've kept the law from my youth. I've done this and that. What more should I do to be saved? And Christ said unto him, one thing ye lack. Go sell all that ye have and then follow me. And he went away sorrowful, because he had so much in his own eyes. He had his own righteousness. He had his own law keeping. He had his own garments, and he didn't want to part with them and come unto Christ naked and say, yes, Lord, I'm nothing. I'm dead in my trespasses and sins. I know nothing. I have no wisdom. I have no strength. There is nothing in me that anyone should applaud. I'm vile, I'm wretched. Lord, have mercy upon me, the sinner. It's his riches in his mind. It's his riches of religion. It's his riches of self-righteousness that kept them away. And you won't come unto Christ because you still think that there's something in you that is worthy of praise. You still think that your knowledge is greater than his, that your wisdom is worth something, that your righteousness will get you by. You've not been brought to see it's all nothing. The world laughs and scoffs at Christ and his gospel because the world in its knowledge and wisdom thinks it knows better. And if that's your heart that says there is no God, there is no eternity, life ends at the grave, I'm going to live my life for all that I can get. I'm going to enjoy myself in the few days that I'm here because this is all there is. If that's your attitude, then your wisdom and your knowledge are keeping you from God. Oh, you have a few riches of knowledge and a few riches of your wisdom, but they've made you blind to reality that there is eternity beyond the grave. That God made you, that God keeps you alive this day, that you're in his hands. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man like you and I. So full of our own understanding, so confident in our own knowledge and wisdom. It's easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle and for one like you and I to enter into the kingdom of God. Because we need to be brought to nothing, where we have nothing, and where we're brought to cry out for God and his mercy. Yes, these riches keep us from Christ. They kept the scribes and the Pharisees from Christ. Indeed, not only did they keep them from his salvation, but their riches turned them against him. Their riches turned them against him. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. You've oppressed others, you've had others serve you. And you put them down. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. The Lord hears those that you've oppressed, who you've mocked, who you have derided. He hears the cries of his children who've declared unto you and served unto you, who've said unto you, this is the way. Look unto Christ, believe in him. And you've trodden them underfoot. You who are so rich in your wisdom and your understanding, you've trodden them underfoot. You've crushed them, you've turned your ears away, you've said, go away, I will not listen. Well, he hears them. You've lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You've nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Yes, in our wisdom and in our knowledge, every one of us at some point has turned from Christ, turned from his gospel, turned from his people, trodden them underfoot, trodden him underfoot. We have condemned and killed the just. The Pharisees not only did not believe, not only did their knowledge and their wisdom, not only did the riches of their religion keep them from Christ and his salvation, but they set them against Christ and his salvation. They took him and they slew him. And your riches, whatever they may be, the riches you have in this world materially, your heart's desire, your lust, the riches of your wisdom, the riches of your so-called knowledge, the riches of your self-righteousness, whatever riches you have and trust in, will set you against Christ, his gospel, and his people. They lead us by nature to condemn and kill the just, to condemn and kill Christ and all his witnesses, all his people. You have condemned and killed the just. Yes, the rich of this world. The rich of this world slew him. And you too, in your heart by nature, reject the just, condemn and kill him. They rejected Christ. They rejected his people. And so do we by nature. The deceitfulness of riches, the love of money, chokes the word of God in our hearts. We cannot hear it. We cannot understand it. We cannot believe it. Christ, when he speaks of the sower, sowing the seed, preaching the gospel and the seed landing on the different ground. Some came and lied on good ground and took root, but for others, the ground that it came upon, like the ground of your heart and my heart by nature, would not receive it. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. You can hear the gospel. You can know the gospel. But as long as your heart still clings on to the riches of this world, the deceitfulness of this world, as long as your heart is still clinging on to your knowledge, your wisdom, your righteousness, something you desire and have in this world, it will cause you to reject, to shut your ear to the truth, to push Christ away, to slay him. To slay him. And to slay every one of his people in him. For just as the world, the rich, put Christ to death, they put his people to death. We will not believe. We will not hear. O believer, you who are in Christ, you who are in the just, you who are just and righteous because he is just and righteous, you who have been delivered from your sin, from your riches, from your love of riches, to love Christ and the riches of his grace. You who are in him, do you know what it is to be opposed by the rich of this world, the rich in religion? Do you know their condemnation? Do you know their hatred? Do you know what it is to be condemned because of your faith in Christ, to be killed with him? We may be, we will be, we will be hated, we will be rejected, we will be slain, we will be killed. But we are alive, alive in Christ. Christ the just was rejected by all, by the rich of this world, by the rich in religion, by you. By me. He was rejected by all. All of us who are rich in our own eyes. We condemned him. We rejected him. We killed him. And he did not resist. He have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. When the world cried out, crucify him, crucify him. When you and I cried out, crucify him, crucify him, he answered not a word. He did not resist. He did not fight back. He did not answer back. He did not justify himself. He was silent as a sheep before its slaughterers is silent. He was meek. He was quiet. He let sinful men lead him away to be crucified. He took upon his own self the sins of his people. He took upon himself their hatred and rejection of him. He took upon himself their iniquity, their unbelief, their depravity, their self-righteousness, all their vileness. He took it upon himself. And quietly he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. Quietly he went to the cross. They took him. They nailed him. They lifted him up. They sat and watched him. And he hung there and suffered for his people. He suffered in the light. He suffered in the darkness. He suffered the rejection, the scorn, the spitting, the mockery, the beating, the bruising of men. He suffered the outpouring of God's wrath in the darkness of the 3 hours. In that eternity upon the cross, as he went into the abyss of God's judgment, God's vengeance against sin, he suffered in the darkness as one who had nothing, as one who had nothing but the sin and the guilt of all the elect, all his people throughout all time. He had none of the riches of this world. He never had had. He had nowhere to lay his head. When he was born in a filthy stable because there was no room in the inn for him. The world had no room in its heart for him. This world had no room for him. The world spat upon him and rejected him and cast him out. It had no room for him. He had nothing of this world. But he took his people's sin, their guilt, their hatred, their vileness. Believer, he took your sin, your guilt, your hatred, your unbelief. All that you saw as your riches. All those riches that set you against him. All that lust and desire that turned you against him, he bore it. He owned it as his in order that he should save you from it, in order that he should deliver you from it, in order that he should wash you clean. Yes, the just was condemned and killed by us all. Why? Because he loved us. He loved his people, he loved his own. And he loved them to the end. He would suffer all things. He suffered the loss of all things. He came from heaven's glory as the Son of God, as Almighty God. He came down into the darkness and depravity of this world. He gave up all things that he should save his people from their sins, that he should give them the riches of his grace, the riches of his glory eternally. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. If all the riches you've got are the riches of this world, they will be taken from you and you will spend eternity with nothing. But if God in his gospel has come unto you, and as you crucified and killed the just Christ upon the throne, as you slew him there, If God has come unto you and sat you down to see him suffering there for you as your Saviour, if he's shown you that you've got nothing and are nothing, then in him he will show you that in Christ you have eternally got all riches, all the riches of the Godhead in his Son. Oh, what are true riches? What are true everlasting riches? They are those riches which are found in Christ and only in Christ. True and everlasting, never to be taken away. Riches beyond measure, beyond understanding, beyond comprehension. The world and its rich men, religious or otherwise, want nothing of this Saviour. They want nothing of these riches. They reject him, and they reject his people, and they reject his gospel, and they reject the riches of his kingdom. But they're left with nothing in the end. All that they've sought after, all that they've clung on to, rusts and is moth-eaten and is taken away and destroyed by fire in hell to come. If that's all you've got, you'll end up with nothing in an eternity of wrath, in outer darkness. But if you're brought to Christ, if you're brought to hear him, if you're brought as nothing, nothing but a lost sinner to the foot of the cross, and the Spirit of God opens your eyes to see your Saviour suffering for you, if you're brought to hear his cry from the cross, looking unto you, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. If you're brought there to have your eyes opened to see him as the Saviour of sinners, as your Saviour, as your righteousness, as your life, then you'll be brought to know all the riches of God in him. This people who are brought there in this world may well be those who have nothing. They may well be poor in the eyes of the world. They may well be poor in their own eyes. They have nothing in the world's eyes. They're a poor and a wretched people. They're a broken people. But they have all riches in Christ Jesus. All riches in Christ Jesus. Consider the riches they have. The righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. A perfection without spot and without blemish. All their sins are washed away. Every last one. All their hatred, all their wicked desires, all their lusting after the riches and the glory of this world. All their sin, all that caused them in their hearts to put Christ to death, is blotted out and washed away, cleansed by his blood. Those who are wretched sinners, the sinner in God's eyes, are now in Christ, the very righteousness of God. Oh, what riches this righteousness is, beyond understanding. They have the riches of salvation, eternal, everlasting salvation, never to be taken away. The riches of eternal life, a life without beginning and without end. They are in Christ, one with Christ, having his life forevermore. The riches of faith, his faith, given unto them to believe in him and believe on the Father. His faith that he showed and exhibited at the cross when in the darkness he hung upon the Father, he looked unto him, even though the Father rejected him as the sinner, even though he was cast out and under the Father's wrath, still Christ believed. Though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. That faith that brought him through the darkness, that brought him through the cross, is the very faith the believer is given. A faith that can sustain him through the greatest of trials, the worst of trials, no matter how dark things may get for you, believer, no matter how hard it may become, no matter how deep you may fall, the world may cast you out, your friends, your family may cast you out, you may be alone in the world with nothing, your health may be taken away like Job's was, and all you can see is your own sin, and you feel you've brought it upon yourself and deserve it. And yet if God has given you faith in Jesus Christ, you will look up beyond it all and look up to He who is on the right hand of the Father as your advocate, and know that you are heard by the Father because of Christ. You have the riches of His faith, the riches of His life, the riches of peace with God, peace through the blood of the cross, peace through Christ's blood shed for you that washed you clean. You have the forgiveness of your sins. Oh, the riches of knowing that they're all forgiven, never to be remembered again, never to be brought up against you again. There's no accusation that can be brought. Who is he that condemneth? It is God that justifieth. It's Christ that died. You're at one with God. There's no condemnation. For the law has been answered. You're dead to the law. You've been crucified by the law. The law's penalty has come down upon you. It can't come to you again. It can find no fault in you. You're perfect and righteous before God. You have the riches of an inheritance to come. Because you're righteous, because you're in Christ, He will bring you into eternity. It's sure and it's certain. You have the riches of unity, united to Christ, united to His people, one with God, never to be separated, in an eternal union, an eternal marriage with Christ. You have the riches of justification. You're just with God. How shall man be just with God? Freely by God's grace through Jesus Christ and His blood shed upon the cross for sinners. You're sanctified, set apart unto God, holy before God. You have the riches of sanctification, the riches of holiness, the riches of the wisdom of God that delivered you from the wisdom of man. The wisdom of God in Jesus Christ. In Christ we have all riches. It's beyond understanding, beyond comprehension, that God should take sinners that killed His own Son, whose own riches of their own wisdom and understanding brought them to hate Him and reject Him and slay Him. And yet He died for them as they put Him to death to make them rich in Him. Oh, have you heard? Or do you despise thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Oh, the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering. May He forbear and be long-suffering in His goodness with us. That though we hear and though we reject and though we hear again and though we reject and though we hear again and though we reject, that in the end, through His long suffering and goodness, He will bring us to that day when we have nothing and when we're brought to cry out for mercy, and He will show us mercy and give us His riches of grace eternally. That He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy, which He had afore prepared to glory. Are you a vessel of mercy? Has He set His grace upon you? If you are, you'll cry out with Paul, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Oh, the riches of his wisdom and knowledge that leads us to repentance, that leads us to salvation, that should do this for sinners, that should give his son a sacrifice for sinners. That son in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Do you know the riches of his grace? Those riches that causes him to come unto wretched sinners and meet with them above the mercy seat. That grace that sent his son to the cross to shed his own blood and to go into the Holy of Holies on the part of his people and sprinkle his blood upon the mercy seat. And then lead that people there where he shows them grace. Oh, do you know the riches of his grace? Elsewhere, Paul writes that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Oh, that God should work mightily by his gospel and open our eyes that we might know the riches of the glory of his inheritance. Oh, what an inheritance the saints have, that they shall live and reign with Christ forevermore. An inheritance given unto wretched sinners, like Paul, who went about persecuting the church, putting believers to death, who says, unto me, who am the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. This is what we preach unto you this day, the unsearchable riches of Christ. There's no riches in this world that you can keep. But if you're brought to know Christ by this gospel, if God opens your ears to hear it, you'll know the unsearchable riches of Christ. And you may say, but I'm too far off. I've rejected too many times. My heart is too hard. How can he show this grace to me? He showed it unto Paul. Unto me, Paul says, who am the least of all saints. He persecuted the church. He gave him grace. Then he can give grace unto you. That you with the church, with the saints, might have your hearts comforted, knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. How will we understand? By God opening our eyes in grace, through which he'll give us the riches of the full assurance of understanding. Oh, where are your riches? Where are they? Where is your heart? What do you know? Where's your wisdom? What righteousness have you got? Where is your hope of salvation? Where are you looking? Has God given you the faith that he gave unto Moses, of whom we read, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Do you? There are no riches comparable to the riches of God's grace in Jesus Christ. None at all. None at all. Go to now, ye rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted. Your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Is that the riches that you're seeking after? The riches of this world, moth-eaten, rusted, cankered? Nothing. Or has God opened your eyes to the riches of his grace in Jesus Christ? May he do so. May he do so. May he not leave us to ourselves and our own understanding and our own wisdom, but may he empower, lead us to the point where we see we have nothing, we are nothing, and we need his mercy. And to the point where he answers our cry and gives us mercy and gives us grace and gives us grace and gives us grace and gives us the riches of God's grace in Christ Jesus. All riches in Christ eternally, forevermore. Oh, praise his name. Amen.